Welcome to Breadline from the Australian Unemployed Workers Union on Community Radio 3CR.
So put down that job plan and listen to us.
I'd first like to acknowledge that this program is being broadcast from the lands of the Wurundjeri of the Kulin Nation. So their sovereignty was never ceded, and we want to pay our respects to their elders past, present and emerging. And we also acknowledge that the unfairness of the welfare system disproportionately affects First Nations people.
That's right. You're listening to Breadline on 3CR 855 AM on your dial or 3cr.org.au if you're listening online. My name is Caitlin and I'm here with my co-host Jessica. Hello.
Hello.
And we've got a special guest in the studio today. We've got Jay Coonan from the Anti-Poverty Centre. Hello.
Hey, how are you going?
Good. How are you, Jay?
I'm not too bad.
Awesome. Thanks for coming in. It is 6 p.m. or 6:01 now. Here in lovely Narm on Wurundjeri country. This is Breadline, the show by welfare recipients for welfare recipients. And we've got a lot to talk about today. It's very exciting. We are presented by the Australian Unemployed Workers Union. And Jessica, can you give us any updates? What's happening in the union?
Oh, what's happening in the union is we've got all these enthusiastic people keen to start working on our phone line. So we've just got
awesome.
Some tech stuff. And that means that people can also can ring our number, which then gets shared around the volunteers who just respond to phone calls. But at the moment, you can still email advocacy@auwu.org.au if you do have queries. And those emails are coming in.
And the helpline is for anyone on welfare who's having troubles with Centrelink and needs some advice.
That's right.
And they only get advice from other volunteers and other people who know what it's like to be on welfare. So, you know, you're not talking to someone who's got like a vested interest in the system or something.
Or getting some kind of payout if they keep you talking longer or something like that.
Right. And I mean, we will be talking about people who get payouts from keeping welfare recipients talking. We're going to be talking about job service providers today
That's right.
Aren't we? As we often do. But but yeah, so you can if you
start
need any
talking,
help.
Yeah,
or we could start talking. We could do that too.
Oh yeah. Did you have? Yeah. Well, I think that I have been mentioning this on the show quite a bit. The fact that we are anxiously waiting for the Ombudsman's report on the inquiry into the legality of the TCF or the Targeted Compliance Framework.
Boom.
And that's why we've invited Jay, because he's got the complete rundown on it. So tell us a bit about what you thought of the report.
Yeah, so I guess just for like a bit of background as well, like the Targeted Compliance Framework, for those who may not be familiar, is it's a semi-automated system that is used by employment service providers to punish you if you're not doing the right thing. So if you don't rock up to an appointment or, you know, apply for enough jobs, it's the click of a mouse that they use to tell Services Australia to put your payment on hold or that your payment should go on hold. And this was set up in 2018 under the then Abbott Morrison, you know, Turnbull kind of regime. So it comes out of the same, welfare ideology of robo-debt, of drug testing welfare recipients. And they thought, what is the easiest way to punish people who we want to punish and get a nice little figure to say, these are the people that are doing the wrong thing. So that's basically what the Targeted Compliance Framework is in a quick summary. So the Ombudsman, the Department of Employment and Workplace Relations, who governs employment services, kind of came clean after receiving legal advice. They found that they had cancelled people's payments unlawfully.
Mm. And a lot of payments.
Yeah.
They cancelled, nearly 1,000?
Yeah, so the Ombudsman actually found out that it's over 1,000 now. So it was technically 964 people. But then through the Ombudsman investigation, they found a further 45 people who had their payments cancelled even after the cancellation process had been stopped because of the unlawfulness.
Right.
So it was still causing people harm even though they had switched it off, which was one of the findings, by the way. So spoiler.
It's the it's the whole punishment agenda.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I remember when they brought it in, actually, I thought, when I saw the penalty points system.
Oh, yeah.
And I just remember being in shock that they could actually get away with it, and they did.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, unfortunately, you know, it just, everything was just happening so fast, and there was, you know, no one was really paying attention. Well, nobody in the media was really paying attention to the truly awful nature of what was kind of unfolding. And 10 years on, we're kind of seeing those fruits kind of come to bear now. And that's just really, yeah, that's what Abbott wanted, and now he's got what he wants.
Well, and it's I think a lot of the commentary I've seen from the mainstream media has been that, like, you know, this is RoboDebt 2.0. But for me, RoboDebt, because I was a recipient of an unlawful RoboDebt, and I was part of the class action. And for me, RoboDebt was always like a symptom of the wider system. It wasn't a one-off mistake or like some, you know, tech thing that they introduced that was a mistake and that was one-off, but usually it works fine. I was like, no, this is just like a concentrated example of the whole system at
exactly,
work.
Exactly, yeah. And that's what, you know, the targeted compliance framework is. You know, as I was saying, it's a semi-automated thing. And when people talk about RoboDebt, they think it's like some machine that's delivering, you know, debts randomly, which, again, it kind of wasn't. There's people behind it. There was people behind RoboDebt, and there's people behind the dishing out of these penalties, because that's the employment service providers. They're the ones who are pressing the button at the end of the day. And even if, you know, they're the ones who are scheduling the appointments for you in 24 hours notice, knowing you won't be able to show up, and so therefore putting your payment on hold, you know, these are the people who are doing the unlawful stuff. So we know that the targeted compliance framework, you know, was doing the wrong thing, because there was issues with the way it was, you know, coded, and having all these like patches and da-da-da-da on top, and policy changes and made to work, and it was a very inflexible system. And what it did was people who were in the penalty zone, so the very end where they were facing a payment reduction or a payment cancellation, were staying in there longer than they were required to. So what that meant is, if you don't have any demerits or mutual obligations failure within a certain period of time, you'll move back into the green zone.
Yeah.
And so, but what it was doing was putting people back in again, and they weren't able to leave.
And,
so
and if this sounds confusing to our listeners, I just know that that's
because it is.
It's because it is. And it's the point, really,
yeah,
isn't it?
Exactly.
It's all really meant to be labyrinthine and confusing.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the point of a system is what it does, right? So
right. If
you've got a system that punishes people, they haven't designed that system to be nice. They've designed that system to punish people.
Yep.
And that's the ultimate purpose of our mutual obligation.
And as we talked about earlier today at the AWU meeting, you know, you can't really quantify the amount of stress that puts people under. It's that thing of having the tightening of the screw, the amount of money you're getting paid reduced, and then completely put on hold. What about the rent? What about all the other bills? What about your just food and household budget? Yeah.
And if you're on a welfare payment, as I am, you're often living fortnight to fortnight. So you don't have a big buffer. Like if it's going to take 3 months to sort this out, and you won't have an income support that whole time, what are you going to do? Your bills don't get paused. Your rent doesn't get paused.
Yeah. Now, the thing that came up is the difference, which I wanted to get clear, and I think I have got clear today, is the difference between cancellation and suspensions. Because are we right that no cancellations are now allowed?
Yeah, that's right. They,
oh, wow.
Payment cancellations have been turned off since middle of, I think maybe July or August last year. I can't recall. But they didn't alert anyone of this until quite late into the piece, because, you know, whether or not it seems that they think that people are going to take advantage of the system and abuse the system, which is an absolute joke.
Whereas the suspensions are sort of like being put on hold.
Yeah, putting your payment on hold.
And a point that Louis made today was that it can often mean that cancellations mean you're back to zero with any job credits, work credits that you may have, whereas a suspension, they're still sitting there.
Right. So, I mean, if you're cancelled, that means you have to reapply for the payment, basically.
Right.
Make
another
claim, as they call it. But if you're suspended, you're just on pause.
You're on pause until you re-engage with your provider. And so
they're kind of holding you hostage a bit. They're holding your money hostage.
Yeah, yeah. So What generally happens is when your payment is suspended, you have to re-engage with your provider. And if your provider is bullying you or harassing you, that's forcing you to re-engage with somebody who is essentially abusing this system to cause you harm, serious harm. And, you know, the Anti-Poverty Centre and other groups have been calling for suspensions to stop, just to entirely switch the entire system off, get rid of mutual obligations, because we know that providers are using the system unlawfully. And there is a second ombudsman report that is underway that should be coming out in the next few months, where they are looking at the administration of employment services by the Department of Employment. And so what we're hoping that we'll see from that is how that these suspensions are being used unlawfully and you know, with the purpose and intent to harm people.
So it may lead it could lead to the whole thing falling apart, really.
We hope they just tear the whole thing down because, you know, at the end of the day, this has been going on for far too long. It's largely ignored by most media, and politicians just assume that, you know, the public supports this kind of brutality and harm. But the only reason that people aren't talking about it is because the government doesn't want people talking about it, because, you know, it was sure it was embarrassing for the coalition government and the Abbott government or whatever to have robo-debt. But, well, now the Labor government have this issue where people's payments are being cancelled, but they're just taking the word of the department and they're not really listening to anyone else. So it's really on them to either, you know, take notice, be proactive and deal with this before it becomes a robo-debt, or, you know, just let it go and be the ones who are caught holding the ball. So,
I quite like it being called robo-debt too, because I think that might mean that people are held accountable. So
well,
it might
true.
Send a sort of shiver through the bureaucracy.
Oh, wouldn't that be great? And speaking of shivers, no, I don't have a segue for that. You're listening to Breadline on 3CR 8:55 AM. We're here on Breadline with Jay Coonan from the Anti-Poverty Centre, who's come in to talk about some new developments in how Centrelink is run, basically. My name is Caitlin. I'm here with my co-host Jessica. And we'll be back in a minute to continue the conversation here on 3CR.
You're listening to a 3CR podcast. 3CR is an independent community radio station based in Melbourne, Australia. We need your financial support to keep going. Go to www.3cr.org.au for more information and to donate online. Now stay tuned to hear the rest of your 3CR podcast.
You're listening to 3CR. This is Breadline with Caitlin and Jessica, and we're here with Jay from the Anti-Poverty Centre because we're talking about the Targeted Compliance Framework. Isn't that fun?
Oh, yes, that's right.
Just what you want on Monday drive home. But we've got so much really fascinating developments happening at the moment, so we're so stoked to be here in the studio talking about it. Jessica, take it away.
And just how it has affected people's lives. And so Jay was explaining that basically, the over 1,000 people who've had their payments illegally suspended or actually cancelled and suspended are actually eligible for some form of compensation.
Yeah, so the department has been has contacted the people who have had their payments unlawfully cancelled to offer compensation, what they call compensation, but what in actuality is just repaying people the 4 weeks that they were off their job seeker payment and any other payments that were reduced, whether that was the 50% or 100%, and have also been given the opportunity to get actual compensation. So if that person was made homeless, if that person wasn't able to pay for, you know, their car, rego, their medication, whatever costs they incurred while they were off a payment, they are able to claim through compensation through the government.
Great.
And we'd certainly like to hear of any listeners who may have been affected in that way.
Yeah, and if you'd like to get in touch with the Breadline Show, you can email advocacy@auw.org.au, which is also the Australian Unemployed Workers Union's advocacy email. But we'd love to hear your stories if you've been affected by this.
And Jay mentioned that the Economic Justice Australia is also willing to help people.
Yeah, so you can jump onto the Economic Justice Australia website, and they've got a They will be able to connect you to your local community legal centre, and you can get in touch to, you know, get some more information, because obviously, you know, these things can be kind of daunting, but your best place to start is with speaking to the Department of Employment when they do get in touch, so you can get that money that is yours back. And then if you want to pursue the option of getting actual compensation for any costs that you did incur, it's always best to chat to a community legal representative to kind of help you through that process, because you are entitled to it. But unfortunately, as most things with government, they create barriers, which sometimes may be financial for you to get that compensation.
Yeah, when I was trying to challenge my robo debt, which was incorrectly calculated against me many years ago, I was on my own. I didn't have legal support or anything. It was very hard. I'm chronically ill. I don't have a lot of energy. I'm sure there's a lot of people in a similar situation. Even if they're on a job seeker payment, they might also be chronically ill or disabled, or just tired, or just life's hard and don't want to do this. So how do they go to the Department of Social Services and raise a complaint? Like, what's the first step?
Yeah, so the first step is you will be contacted. So we know that over 600 people have already undergone the process to get the money that was cancelled back.
Oh, so the department will contact you.
Yeah, so they've been sending out text messages, emails, letters in the MyGov, and physical letters as well, as far as I'm aware. So if you've gotten one of those, it's not fake.
Hey,
it is real.
That seems like the kind of thing that would be fake.
exactly. Which was something that we raised with them at the beginning. We were like, we know that people don't. We know that you just don't give out free money. People are just going to look at this and what the hell? Like,
I mean, the amount of spam that you get on your phone these days.
Yeah, don't trust any of it.
No, but in this case, it's real.
And I suppose people might be able to sort of think back, oh, yes, I did have that suspension. I was denied money for a few weeks, so that might make them feel more confident if they got that message.
Yeah, and if you are in doubt, the number will be for the National Customer Service Line, which is run by the Department of Employment. You'll have a quote or reference number that you'll be able to quote to them, and then obviously that will confirm it. So, you know, obviously don't never give away your bank details, card information online or to anyone from the first step. And if ever in doubt, go to the source. So, yeah.
And I assume if Centrelink or the Department of Social Services is going to pay you back any money, it'll go into the account that they already pay your payments into, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So you shouldn't be giving out your bank details.
No.
I would take it.
Only updating it through the Centrelink.
But sadly,
through MyGov.
Jay explained that through an FOI, it was found that some 10 people have passed away since.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, that is unfortunately true.
And FOI, just for everyone listening, is a Freedom of Information request.
Yes, yeah. Sorry.
No. Yeah. I mean, sometimes, you know, it can get a bit inside baseball talking about this stuff.
It really
but
is.
Yeah. It's so bureaucratic. But at the end of the day, there are lives on the line.
Yeah. And as we were saying earlier, how can you quantify the stress that having your payments just completely, your payment cancelled or suspended, puts you under? It's again, you can talk about the payments that you weren't able to make, but the stress and so on. As Daryl was saying, Elfin used to happen to him on a Friday, and so he said that then your weekend's gone.
Can't do anything until business. Daryl is our co-host who's not here tonight, but if you tune in every Monday, you'll hear his dulcet tones.
That's right. So what's next then, Jay?
Yeah, so the Ombudsman report, which, for just kind of like a high level stuff, you know, they were talking about some administrative and process things that the Department of Employment needs to follow, that they agreed to, things like being trained in legal requirements to make valid decisions for Services Australia, and to, you know, make sure that they're operating the law correctly. And another thing as well is by law, the department was required to set up what is known as a digital protections framework that they just didn't do and haven't done, though that they've been required to do so. The Anti-Poverty Centre takes the view that this particular framework that was suggested isn't necessarily going to fix the problem. It's just going to make sure that they're harming people correctly, which, you know, we're obviously not in support of. But again, it just goes to show the culture and just how, you know, broken that this department is when they're not even implementing things that they're legislatively required to do. So anyway, they have accepted all recommendations, the Department of Employment and the
so
ones...
that's interesting, I think. And yeah. That's, and yeah. Makes me a bit interested about when the next
they wouldn't want
comes
to reject
down.
Any.
No, but no doubt they just wished it'd all go away.
Exactly, yeah.
That's and what I find interesting is who's holding them accountable? Like, what are they yeah. afraid of? They've yeah. come. They've sort of tried to apparently get ahead of things this time.
Yeah.
Instead of waiting for a Robodebt Royal Commission again, but it, you know, if they're not following the law, who's checking up on that?
Well, yeah, no one. Yeah, basically, it's you know, activists and advocates who are holding them to account. It's journalists who take that extra step to hold them accountable, to create that pressure, to grow that public sentiment, is truly who is holding them account, because we know that the current minister doesn't seem at all interested, and in media commentary or responses to media in the wake of the ombudsman, you know, she said that she was happy that they accepted the recommendations. Now, you know, that's ideally who is the person who's meant to be holding them to account, but at the end of the day, I don't think that this government truly, really is. You know, there needs to be a minister who is in charge of this, who has genuine stake in the game, because either the current minister is willfully unaware or, you know, is
which
truly,
again makes me yeah. think of Robodebt. You know, they yeah. were all passing the buck like crazy.
Yeah. Well, and from my digging into the Robodebt situation, they were actually quite aware of what was happening and okay with it, to be honest.
Yeah.
And I'd say that that's probably the case with a lot of these things, is that, you know, they probably, if there were a deep investigation, like I think enough people have moved on from the department in the past year or so.
Right.
I've been there for a while, that I think they're aware. And I think the department is also aware and knows that it has serious cultural issues that did kind of come to light through the Robodebt Royal Commission. They yeah. realized that the way that they've been operating and behaving is not what they, not how they should be operating as yeah. public officers.
Yeah. yeah. As you said, weaponizing mutual obligations. Yeah.
And, you know, people like AUWU, the Australian Unemployed Workers Union, and the Anti-Poverty Centre, we're going to keep holding them accountable. And
yep.
Through shows like Breadline.
That's right.
6 p.m. every Monday on 3CR. So we're almost out of time.
Almost out? But
kind of
tiny thing. We're also aware of the fact they're rebranding the Disability Employment Services. They're calling it Inclusive Employment Australia now.
Oh, excuse How me while I that? Throw up.
So we're on to
nice
that. We're going to be doing. That's not happening yet. And so we'll be in mid October. We're hoping to do a show on that, so people don't get a real shock and wonder again if their payments are going to be suspended.
That's always the fear. Well, Jay Coonan, thank you so much for being here in the studio today and chatting to us about this really important issue.
Anytime.
You've been here with Caitlin and Jessica on Breadline. Thank you so much, Jessica.
Okay, thank you, Caitlin, for paneling.
Oh, thank you. I'm happy to. And I just don't want to go out without mentioning that it's great. It was good news, lukewarm, but good news today that the Prime Minister said that Australia is going to recognise the state of Palestine in September. So even though it is, you know, too little too late, good to see the pressure is working. So, you know, this is what we do. We just got to keep putting pressure on the people that are meant to represent us.
100%.
Yep. Here on 3CR, that's what we do. 8:55 a.m. On your dial or 3cr.org.au. Thanks for listening to Breadline. We'll see you next Monday.
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.